Hello, my friends, and welcome to another episode of Unlimited. This is a brand new year, and I have been going through my files and clearing things out. I cleared out my email, I cleared out my files, I'm going through old notes, and just I'm on a purge. It's time to do some releasing of old stuff. I talked last episode about hitting my 5-year mark in business, and I just have been really feeling with all of the change in the air that it's time to do some releasing and open up to embracing some new things. And I have found that times of change are wonderful opportunities for that, though they may be rather uncomfortable. In that process, I came across an audio file of a mindset shift video I did earlier last year, right towards the beginning of the pandemic and staying at home, schooling at home, and all of that. And I really appreciated what I had put in that, talking about changing the rules and identifying rules that needed to be changed. And I know I talked a little bit about that last time, so I thought it was a great kind of blend in with this theme, especially with the new year and all of that and everything that's going on in the world. So I have decided to try something a little bit different in this episode. I'm going to include a clip from that video in this episode. And I'm going to then share a little bit about more things around that have been coming up. So we'll see how it goes. Most of my videos were a little bit shorter than the 30 minutes I've been doing here for the podcast. So we're just playing around with things, seeing what fits, and that's part of change as well. And I'll be talking more about that in the episode. So what you can expect in this episode is talking about changing the rules, navigating change, making aligned decisions, and getting uncomfortable being uncomfortable. So without further ado, let's get started. Hey there, I'm Valerie Friedlander, Certified Life Business Alignment Coach, and this is Unlimited. This podcast bridges the individual and the societal, scientific and spiritual, positive and negative, nerdy and, no, there's just a lot of nerdy. Come on board and let's unlock a life that's as badass as you are. My New Year's post this year was about New Year, same me. And in it, I shared about how much I've needed myself this year with all of my roles under one roof. You know, all of the hats that I wear that I have chosen and cultivated intentionally or otherwise as a wife, a mom, a business owner, a creative, a coach, all of the things. Here I am, and all of them are centered in me, but it would be so easy for them to dominate, to take over all of the pulls from each thing. And boundaries are such a challenge in general. To have everything in the same place is a bit overwhelming and really has called me to be very aware of who I'm being in each one and how they're the same, how they're different, how I'm the same, how I'm different in each of these spaces. And I was talking with a friend earlier today who had some very dramatic upheavals in her life where she separated from her husband, her kids are on, one's moved out, the others are on the verge of moving out, and the empty nesting stuff going on and living in a new space all her own now, and really having this opportunity to go, okay, what do I like? Who am I? Is this a choice that I'm making because this is the choice that I've always made? And it's been influenced by all of these hats that I've worn? Or is this a choice that resonates with me as who I am now and what I really want, and trying new things and deciding, oh, I know, I really like that. I wouldn't have tried that before, or I might not have even liked that before or allowed myself to like that before, but I am now. And how, as she's sharing this with me, I'm going, yeah, I resonate with that, but in a different way, because my choices are even more heavily influenced by these people in my life, by the roles that I hold, because they're all so very present. But to make these decisions and really check in and go, okay, this is super uncomfortable, this is new, this is different, yet it has pulls of familiarity. And how do I want to navigate that as me in each of these spaces? And I've advocated for a while, I even found a blog that I did ages ago that talks about I wear the hats, they don't wear me, and how much more present that has been this past year and continues to be. I mean, even as we step into a new year, I feel like in a lot of ways that transition with the energy behind it, even though it's totally fabricated by our society, it's this transition time, given that it's the winter and it's a time to listen and release and choose new things, that in some ways this space of reflection and then choosing new for a new year, but centered in what we want to create in the world, it provides this fabulous opportunity to do some really powerful and deep work. And I know that's hard to do when you're in survival mode, and there's a lot of that happening right now. So I will hope that this can be a little bit of a space for you to think about some of these things that may be uncomfortable, not necessarily as bad things or like you're doing something wrong, but as spaces of awareness to look a little bit deeper at and make a decision over, is this uncomfortable because it isn't aligned anymore? It isn't something that resonates for me? Or is it uncomfortable because it's something that I'm not used to, and that's normal for it to be uncomfortable when I'm not used to it, because that means it's outside of the comfort zone. I'm going to share the little clip from a video that I found that I did, I guess it was April of 2020, talking about rules, and where I'm kind of like, F the rules, in not quite those words. But I'm going to share that with you, and then we'll talk a little bit more about some of the decision-making that can go behind looking at those places where you want to shift the rules and maybe do something different, not because it was a bad thing before, but maybe because it doesn't fit you now or the you you want to be. So I'm going to play that and then we'll come right back.
I was talking with my husband earlier today about rules and societal rules and homeschooling, well, virtual schooling, not homeschooling, virtual schooling, and all the insanity of what's going on, and how we're functioning in this kind of normlessness, but we're all trying to figure out the rules. Like, we're all like, how do we function normally or semi-normally, or like the way we're pretending it's normal, but it's not? Like, how do we do that and maintain our sanity? And the thing is, you don't, because the rules don't apply the way they used to. And we're trying to fit like a round peg into a square hole. And interestingly enough, I just had a call with a client where we ended up talking about rules and trying to play by the rules and trying to like, am I okay? Like determining my okayness from other people. And like, does this fit in the rules? Like the question is, I want this, or I'm doing this. Am I crazy? My question to that is, what does it mean to be crazy? Because usually crazy means not playing by the rules or other people's rules or the rules as they have been told to you. And there are a lot of subconscious rules. We are communal animals. We want to know like what are we supposed to be doing? And so it's like, does this fit? Is this okay? Am I okay? Am I fitting in the rules enough? And in some ways, this is a great time to explore the rules. Like, what are the rules that you live by? What is the game that you're playing? And we have a societal game. It's based on our societal stories and then our own individual stories that layer on top of the societal stories. And all of those stories build up the rules that we think we have to play by. And I love the movie Captain Marvel because it really is about a woman going, wait, but these rules that I have been told are not, they are not true. And it's not that they're not true. They are based in truth, in truth with like societal truths, like the stories. They're, if you think of stories as truth, they're based in those things. But we get to write our own story. It's very hard to do that. This is the time to look at some of those stories. And we are looking at some of those stories. We're being forced to look at some of those stories, but it's hard and we don't want to, and we're still trying to survive. And it's very complicated. So obviously I'm not going to solve all the problems here, but like I want to, but I'm not gonna, because I'm in it too. Like I said, this was a conversation that came up between myself and my husband around rules. And it's recognizing like, what are the rules? What am I believing? What are the stories? What are those underlying things that say, this is the way it's supposed to be? Okay. How well is that working? Is that really working for you? Because my guess is that it's not. Like a lot of the stories that are playing out right now that are like in our face and like, this is a problem, such as some of the dynamics with the schooling and virtual space. Those aren't new problems. They're just in a different context. So we can see the problematic nature of them instead of going, oh, wait, it's not just that the context is off. It's that perhaps some components of the way we have been doing this are off. So like taking a look at what are those stories. Now, one of the things that came up with my client that I think is really important, because I definitely see this a lot. And that is, you know, I used to be like, nobody does this. That's okay. I'll figure it out and be willing to do that. So I don't know where I lost that. When did that stop? And that's important, because one of the things that stops us from doing something different or from picking back up into a powerful place that we used to play in is, well, why am I not there? And we take all this time trying to figure out why, trying to figure out what went wrong, what broke, what is bad about what happened, why am I here? That's not to say that assessing what shifted, what changed is not valuable. There is value in that. But a lot of times it's just, okay, if it was true before, then you can tie into that. And instead of spending a ton of time trying to figure out why it's not true anymore, what would it take to pick that up again? What would it take to be that person? What's stopping me from doing that? So, hey, it's okay that it's not been true. There are reasons. All you need to know is there were reasons. There were reasons that stopped being true. Now, what do you want to do with that? Want to pick it up? Because you don't have to know where you put it down in order to pick it up again. You do not have to know what that thing was. Because a lot of times it's a slow assimilation of the societal, familial, communal story that you can't do that. And it's subconscious. We're communal creatures. We take these things in and we use them to assess if we're okay. And that's not bad. The question is, how much is it serving you? And how much are you buying into stories that are actually harmful to your well-being, to the well-being of the people around you, and to what you want to do or what you're being called to do in the world? So a lot of my clients are like, I'm feeling called to do something, but I'm not doing it. I know there's more, but I don't know what it is. All of those things, there's a block to it. There's something that you picked up, some pattern that is keeping you where you are and not playing bigger. And that's, it could be very much the rules of the game and the rules that you have not broken through. And that's not something that you can get like a cookie cutter fix for. That's not something that I can just say, well, just think this way about it or just change your approach. It's awareness. I can help you access awareness, but then it's asking those questions to drill into the next phase of action that's needed. What will help create the space for you to do the next thing that moves you in the direction you want to move in? And that's about you. So we're talking about like, what do I do? Well, I'm like the cable guy. I'm going to install your high-speed internet access to your inner wisdom. That's what I do. But that, I mean, it's really unearthing all of those rules and the ones that are not functioning well for us, both as individuals, but also as society. And I think women are particularly well-positioned to engage those. And I'm here to help you do that.
One of the reasons why I think women are so well positioned to engage this topic of changing the rules and doing things differently is because, as I've mentioned before, so much of society is centered around masculine energy, not feminine energy. So the spaces where we tend to gravitate and shine in these cooperative spaces, listening to our intuition and nurturing and waiting, even that has been so devalued in our society. So many women working to play powerfully in this society have fought against some of the things that we are so powerful in. And there are those of us going, wait, so something is wrong here. Like, I shouldn't have to play big in this way, or like that bro culture. I actually heard Julie Stoyan, who is fairly well known in the online entrepreneur space in terms of creating funnels. She is Funnel Gorgeous. And she was talking about realizing that she's been playing in the bro culture spaces and doing really well up into a certain point, and then suddenly feeling like she wasn't in it anymore and wondering, what did she do wrong? And did she say something wrong, or did she push too hard, or what happened that somehow it didn't work anymore? And she was in a conversation where there were a bunch of other women going, yeah, I've experienced this too. And she realized that, oh, it's not me. It's this space. It's like tokenizing, and I'm used to a certain point and then I'm done. Realizing that to be fully expressed and fully powerful, that these spaces aren't geared for women to be 100% ourselves. And we're feeling that. And instead of looking at it and going, there must be something wrong with me, we need to take a step back and stop labeling the bad stuff. That it's important to recognize that when something is off, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's us or that something's wrong with us. And it's really important to make the space to discern what we want and what we're called to do, and step back from the judgment of it and be more curious about it. You'll often hear me say curiosity and judgment don't exist in the same space. And that includes the self-judgment. And oftentimes the external judgment will reflect the internal judgment. So just notice anytime there's judging of whether it's this is good or this is bad, there's judgment there. And to take a step back and get curious about it. It's one of the best ways to expand your thinking about something. And it's one of the reasons why I think having a community of support, a support team, is so important. Because when you have a support team, you're not just getting lost inside your own head. Hearing from other people, especially for women, other women, about their experiences is so powerful. It's one of the reasons why I love group coaching. I was, again, as I was clearing things out, I was going through and looking at a lot of the chats from our group coachings and seeing the comment, same, like written multiple times on multiple different calls. And thinking, yes, this is what this space is about. I mean, part of it is the individual coaching, but a big part of it is hearing other people going through that process and having that validation that you're not alone, that you're not crazy, that something's not wrong with you, that you're experiencing whatever it is that you're experiencing. I've had so many people say, I was surprised at how many times I was resonating with what other people said. I knew that it would be beneficial for me to be in this group and get the coaching, but I had no idea how important and valuable it would be for me to hear other people in the group sharing and how supportive that aspect would be. Having a space like that, especially if you're wanting to do work on yourself and do that discernment of what needs to change, is so important. And I've mentioned that idea of playing big a few times because it's a phrase that gets thrown around a lot in spaces like online entrepreneurship and, you know, making sure you're not playing small and play big. And that's another one that defining what words mean to you is so important, because I had a client recently who found herself actually getting boxed in by the idea of playing big. She was working with some other people who they had an idea, but it started to expand, partly because, you know how if you're ordering swag or something like that, they, you know, like Vistaprint will give you this, oh, well, you can add 200 more for only this much. And it's like, wow, that's a good deal. Maybe I should get the deal and get this many more flyers for the thing. And this was something that they had this great idea, this wonderful thing they were going to share. And then they thought, oh, wait, we could get more, but are we really going to sell more people into this? And then the thought came up of, well, we don't want to play small. And that was one of the things that my client has always worked on, is this push in a lot of the spaces that she's been in of, we got to play big, don't play small. And so we talked about that. And my question to her was, what do you want this space to be? How many people do you want in it? Well, you know, it was never aimed to have 1,000 people in it. It was aimed to have a small group in it and then maybe expand from there. But it kind of carried itself away. And then that potential of playing small jumped out. And it's like, well, it's only playing small if you're not being true to yourself. That's what playing small is. If you are squishing yourself down because you're afraid of what other people will think, because you're afraid that you can't actually do it, if there's something you want and you are saying no to yourself about it, that's where playing small is. Playing big is doing the next indicated thing that moves you towards your dreams. It's allowing yourself to dream and ask what you want. And that's not necessarily the same thing as everybody else, right? Like, you may want something very different. There are people who think that they want to be an entrepreneur in the online space, and then they get in it and they play in it a while and it's interesting and they learn a lot. And then it's time to move on and work in a team environment in a company again. And that's okay. Is that playing small? No, that's not playing small. That's being aligned. So perhaps the idea of playing big and playing small are, well, oh gosh, there we are in a binary again, right? So paying attention to what words mean to you and how they're playing in your life, again, tapping into that curiosity, is really important. And it's one of the reasons why I encourage you, when you are stepping into something new, having people there to support you, having a support team, but not just any support team, but one that will listen to you, will ask you questions, will challenge the assumptions that you're making. They're going to question the stories, the rules that you've played by, and say, well, how much is that something you really like? What would you do differently if you could do anything you wanted? Like, really dig in and help you find creative solutions to obstacles, not because you have to or you should or you need to play big because they think you should, but because they're listening and they're acknowledging what you want and challenging you to lean into what you want, not challenging you to do more because that means whatever it means, right? So knowing that, it really is about you. And the first most important thing is checking in on what you want. Now, that's easier said than done, as I'm sure you know. Most people get stuck making decisions and doing something different, whether they are saying they want to or they feel like a change has been thrust upon them and they're realizing that something different is necessary, that they are now in a new place. Our brains prefer consistency. We have like a whole section of our brains that is the autopilot. And that part of our brain burns way less energy than the conscious part, which is great when we're in a stable space where we're just kind of doing the things, we're being where we are, and we're not trying to make change and everything's running as normal. We're taking in the information, whatever. But it's not so yay when we either want to make changes or we feel like they're thrust upon us, like, you know, COVID. So as I mentioned last time also, if you've ever had an experience where the outcome of a change or decision that you've made was painful in some way, which most of us have because that's life and part of the learning process, there becomes an even greater importance placed on avoiding that pain, which our subconscious likes to generalize so that anything that your brain says, oh, this is different, and relates to that experience, then creates that resistance and becomes assumed to be dangerous. I mean, there's a reason that there's an Irish proverb that says, better the devil you know than the devil you don't know, because it's better to deal with something bad that you know than with something new that you don't, because the new thing might be even worse. And that dates back to 1539 in a collection of proverbs by our taverner. It's interesting because, again, within that, you hear the binary. It's better to deal with something bad that you know. Well, what makes it bad? And that's the next question, right? What makes it bad? What would you like to be different? Because as soon as you start focusing on the bad thing, that's where your energy is going. People will often use the analogy of an onion when it comes to personal development. And I prefer the analogy of a ship. My dad is the one who introduced me to that analogy. It's this idea that you're not going to peel layers and then eventually there's nothing there, right? Like, that's scary, that idea that you're going to change, that you're going to do something different, that you're going to make new rules. Like, you're going to peel away layers, like as in the top layers are bad and there's something wrong with them. You need to peel them away to get to the core that eventually actually isn't even there, because all an onion is layers. And then there's nothing left. With a ship, it's like a ship that has barnacles on it. You're always going to have barnacles because we live in society, just like a ship lives in the ocean and there are barnacles that are going to attach to it. However long you go before you address the care of the ship will determine how many barnacles there are on it and how much work and elbow grease you need to put into scraping those barnacles off. But there's always a beautiful ship underneath, and you may put a new paint job on it. You may sail it in different seas, and you may learn new things about it. You may add on to it. You may change it. There's always a ship there. And so there's always going to be this work to put behind caring for it and giving it space to sail. A big part of the problem when it comes to intentionally creating change and scraping off those barnacles and deciding to do something different and change the rules and play big, whatever that looks like for you, is that we often think of it in terms of mindset, and that makes it sound like it's a mental thing. And there are certainly things that we can do mentally to engage change. And I think we do need to engage our brain in that process. But when we only try and use our mind to make changes, we often fail because it takes so much more work. Again, the part of our brain that we need for that is the part that burns the most energy. So it's important to remember to include in the equation our emotions, our body, our spirit, a sense of self and purpose, essentially creating alignment, not just in action, but in whole selfness. No matter what you do, whether you're growing a business, a career, a relationship, children, whatever it is, you can't grow any of the things around you without growing yourself. And that is uncomfortable. And it's important to remember within that, that there's nothing wrong with you when you're feeling uncomfortable. We often interpret it as that means we're doing something wrong. Again, step back and get curious about it, because it may be that you're stepping into something that isn't aligned, but it may just be an indication that you're stretching your comfort zone. When you check in and, you know, check in with your team, give yourself a timeline for the experiment and say, hey, I'm going to try this for this time and see how it feels. Release the need to be confident. We often think we need to be confident. It's really just courageous. Being vulnerable and leaning on people in that process. Our brains actually say we need people when we're in stress. It pushes us to connect with other people. So releasing that need to be confident. Confidence comes from experience. So if it's new, you're not going to have experience in it. You might be able to tap into experience of having stepped out of your comfort zone before and done something new or something similar, especially like my client who knew she had been a certain way before, but had seemed to have lost that. Well, I've been there before, so I can do it again. What would it look like to step into that now? Staying curious and out of the right-wrong mentality so you can see more opportunities and possibilities. And staying connected to what you want, not the future outcome, but the feeling that you'll have when you have that goal. Like I talked about in the last episode, you know, what is that feeling that you're looking for? What would help you feel more of that? Where do you feel that in your body? What's different about how you hold your body when you feel that way? Because that's how you're tapping into a more holistic picture of being, not just thinking. And that means that as you're holding that space, the actions that you take, even if they shift, maybe they bring up more barnacles, right? Like you'll be able to go, oh, those are barnacles. It's time to clear the ship and put a little paint job on and do something a little bit different. And again, that's different for everyone. So having that space for yourself, at minimum where you're giving yourself that space, but especially having other people around you to support that is so important. And it's hard right now because we can't be in person with any of those people, but we can connect, and connection is still available to us. We just get a little bit more creative. And as someone who has run my business almost entirely online, doing coaching via Zoom and the phone, I can tell you that it does work. So connecting with people who will support you and support that discernment process within yourself, because you are the only one who has the answers for you, and they will change, but you will always have your ship. If you would like support with this, I am here for that. I am here for you. So feel free to reach out. I would love to chat with you. Talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening. I so appreciate you being here. If you got something out of today's episode, please share it. Leave me a review, take a screenshot, and post it on social with a shout out to me. Send it to a friend or, you know, all of the above. Want to hang out more? Join me on Instagram. Or better yet, get on my mailing list to make sure you don't miss out on anything. And remember, your possibilities are as unlimited as you are. Allow yourself to shine, my friend. The world needs your light. See you next time.